Today's episode of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast is brought to you by our friend Joel Duffy and the Gustafson Agency, American Family Insurance. You can give them a call at 319-363-7214. Auto, home, life, commercial, anything you need, he'll get you set up with all your insurance needs. If you're a Hawk fan, don't even think about applying. I know you're probably not since you're tuning into the Cyclone Fanatic recruiting podcast, but either way, give our dude Joel Duffy a call or send him an email at jduffy1@amfam.com, 319-363-7214. The Gustafson Agency and our friend Joel Duffy. What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the recruiting podcast. I'm here with this guy, Adam Gray. What's up, man?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. It's been a busy Thursday full of podcasts already. This is number three for the day. We're going to be posting this on Friday.
Yeah, and we might have three podcasts done before noon here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Yeah, just getting things done.
How much work are you going to do in the afternoon?
I got a lot.
Do you?
Busy day, yeah. Got some stuff to do.
I can say I'm probably not going to do that much.
I got to be done fairly early, though, because my 3-year-old's got his first little T-ball game at 5:30. I got to get him picked up about 4:45.
I need to come back over to your house to play play Super Smash with Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Because I forgot. Well, we were talking on the night that I came over to your house last week.
He was greatly offended you didn't play with him.
Yeah, he carried that game around all night long waiting for me to play.
You know what's funny about it? He never actually has played. Yeah. Jake, my 9-year-old, will play, and he'll sit there with the other controller that's not turned on, and he just thinks he's playing.
Oh, okay.
He thinks he's doing it, playing with it. And he, I'll play it very often, but every now and then when I go down there, he's like, "Daddy, look, I'm playing the game." I'm like, "Good job, buddy. You're doing good." And yeah, I am doing good. He doesn't lack confidence. If you say, "Hey, you're a stud," he'd be like, "Yeah, Dad, I am a stud." Like, yeah, I am.
Well, it was funny because we were looking at his games, and he said, "I said, what's your favorite Wii game to play?" And he's like, "Mario," and I was like, "Well." Oh, I was like, "Do you play Mario Kart?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm the best at it."
Oh, yeah. You know, I tell you, he's got confidence.
Yeah, and then he went and started getting all his games. He was showing them to me. He's like, pulled out Super Smash. I was like, "Oh, that's a good one." He's like, "It's a great one." You're right. It is.
That's funny. I honestly don't think he's ever actually played a video game before. I really don't. But he's seen Jake play from time to time, and he likes to be by his big brother, obviously. So.
Yeah. He was shooting baskets on his hoop, too.
He can shoot.
Yeah.
For a three, he can throw.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He told me he's his favorite superhero. So.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I told you, man. He's just irrational confidence. He's just nonstop, that kid.
I wonder where he gets it.
I don't know. Probably his mom.
So it's going to be a big weekend for the Iowa State football coaching staff. They've got a big visitor coming in. Caleb Chandler.
Very big.
Yeah.
Both in terms of stars and size.
Yeah, 4-star offensive lineman, Caleb Chandler, 6'5", 300 pounds. He was number one on the debut Cyclone Fanatic hot board. So,
can we call it the Stansberry hot board, or are we going to call it the Cyclone Fanatic?
I don't want to.
You did ask for opinions, so maybe.
Right, I'm open to your guys' opinions as well.
Okay. Yeah, he'd obviously be a big get. We've talked about him quite a bit. Do you think this is a guy that they're hoping they can get locked in during the visit? Is this an official visit, unofficial?
It's not an official visit.
An unofficial.
No.
Are they thinking they can get him locked in?
I don't know if that's he seems like a guy that – I think he told me that he doesn't want to commit until, after his season.
After the season's over. So
yeah.
It's going to be drawn out for a while.
Here, I can look for sure. But I'm pretty sure he told me the week after his senior season is when he's going to –
Commit.
He said that this is for his first time flying.
Oh, really?
So he's excited to come to Ames, but he's really nervous about flying.
Wow. He must really like Iowa State to pay for a visit to come up here for his first time ever flying.
Yeah. That's
a good sign.
Yeah, he said a week after my senior season ends. He told me that a couple weeks ago.
He's coming up here for a good weekend weather-wise. A little toasty, but nothing he's not used to down south.
Right.
So.
And... They're also hosting a camp this weekend, and I've heard that there might be some guys from Pittsburgh coming in for this camp, like a bus of guys, but I don't know that for sure. It was just kind of a...
They're still working it out.
Yeah, it was something that was still being worked out to get these guys in town, but potential that could.
That's got to be the most frustrating thing for the coaching staff, right? You work all... I mean, you're working to get these kids and working to get them in, and you don't really know. I mean, a lot of times... Or you think your kid's coming, and then the day before, no, I'm not coming on the visit. I mean, that's got to be frustrating. but it's part of the game.
Right, and especially in a situation like that where it's like, you know, I don't think that they've got anybody coming in on it that's like, it's not like Caleb Chandler.
Sure.
You know?
But there maybe are a couple borderline guys that they just want to see in person. Now, is Caleb Chandler, is he going to be competing in the camp, or is he just coming to kind of just stand there and watch and feel for everything?
I can't imagine he's competing in camp.
This is it's like those NBA guys that are going to be top three picks, not going and doing, not working out with other guys. You find that a lot in college, don't you? When they do these camps, the top guys that already have a lot of offers, they never seem to compete, do they?
Well, there's no reason. I mean, a lot of them see it as there's no reason to compete, you know? Like, if I've already got my offer, then why would I go out there and if I could mess up and they don't want me anymore?
I mean, I guess I see that aspect of it.
I'm not saying that's the right thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's what they're thinking is a lot of the time.
Sure.
You know?
You know, but Urban Meyer's big deal that he had that spiel on the other day, basically saying we don't offer any kids based on camps. How many guys do you think are likely that Iowa State has offered? They get them in for a camp, and then they say, you know what? Never mind. We don't want this kid.
Well, I think that there are kids that come in that they say that they maybe give an offer, and it's to get them to come to camp.
Yep.
And then once they get to camp, they might see them, and they're not going to be like, oh, no, we're pulling your offer. But it's just like they kind of back off on them, and they'll slow play them a little bit.
It's kind of a non-committable offer anymore.
Right. Yeah. Like if they tried to commit, they'd be like,
well, let's wait a little bit type deal.
Yeah.
No, I get that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, a lot of times they'll have guys that they have evaluated as someone that could earn an offer, but they just want to see them in person.
Yeah.
You know.
Who's the lead recruiter on this Caleb Chandler guy? Who's the guy down there working him?
I'd assume it's Tom Manning. Okay. I'm pretty sure it is.
Does this staff do it any different than road staff? Where road staff, they were not go.
I don't think it's position specific.
It was more location specific.
I think it's
specific.
more position specific.
With these guys, it is.
Yeah, I thought that the location specific is. I think that's kind of odd, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I see.
Unless
it both
you've
ways,
got like major connections somewhere,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, if you bring in a guy who was a stud player down in Texas and knows all the coaches, and you send him down there just to get the players.
Definitely.
Like Shane Burnham had a lot of connections down in Florida. His dad was a coach down there for many years. It's where he grew up. It made sense for Shane Burnham to be the guy in Florida.
Mm-hmm. But I think if it's like you just get your coaching staff and then it's like, okay, we're going to separate the whole country into different pieces and then we're just going to send people to these different places. You know, you might not have ever been there, but that's what you're going to be your area. That's what you've got to do. I'd rather say, you know, if you're the offensive line coach, go find the offensive linemen you want. Go find the ones that are going to fit your style, the kind of football that you're trying to play.
I think it holds them more accountable, too, because that was always the big argument with, you know, certain coaches Iowa State's had in the past. Well, man, why do we have this coach? Our defensive line's been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but he's not recruiting those guys.
Yeah.
He even bringing this guy and this guy and this guy. You can't kill him for that. So now you can actually look at it and say, well, 3 years down the road, if we've had a position where it's been really a weak link, maybe he's not cutting it. So
right.
I think it does hold them a little bit more accountable. And they get, like you said, they get a choice to, or a chance to say, this guy fits exactly what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it.
I think that these coaches get a lot more freedom with handing out offers and stuff like that. I mean, obviously I didn't sit in on the recruiting board with Paul Rhodes' staff, but from what I've heard, he always had the final say on whether or not someone was getting an offer. But now it's more like an assistant coach. They go out and they see a kid and they're like, we got to offer this kid. We got to move now, you know, and we can't wait. We can't get back. And then everybody sit down and we vote on it. We got to move. And Matt Campbell will say, all right, hand him an offer. And that's why when you see a lot of these offers just getting thrown around, you know.
Well, and if you're a kid too and a coach comes from a Big 12 school, and they see it right away, mm-hmm. and they offer you right away, don't you feel the love a lot more than if, hey, I'm going to go back and talk to my guys, and we're going to kind of mull it over, and we'll get back to you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. You're still thrilled if you get an offer, but it's a little bit more meaningful when they like me so much that they saw me, and they said, I got to offer this kid on the spot.
Right, and you got to jump. Like, a lot of these times with Iowa State, you've got to jump in the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a thing where you can't slow play people, especially the big-name guys. Think about someone like Brandon Ruiz. They got in on him early, but then all of a sudden Alabama sweeps in with an offer. It's done.
Yeah.
Alabama can do that. Oklahoma can do that. Ohio State can do that. Iowa State can't do that. You've got to get in. You've got to build relationships over a length of time in order to land some of those big name kids like that.
And hopefully hold them off then if Oklahoma does come in and offer down the road. Sometimes you're going to lose those kids no matter what, but
right.
I always look back at like an EJ Bibbs. We recruited him forever, got a commitment out of him. He hadn't signed yet. Oklahoma came in. Iowa State was able to keep him because, like you said, they were in on him early. They had that relationship with him. Because that's really the only way. Like you said, Iowa State is going to be able to beat some of these schools out. Because if Iowa State offers the same time as Alabama or any of these big schools, they're not going to win.
For sure.
I like it.
They had a satellite camp in Council Bluffs last weekend.
Which you were going to go to, correct?
Yeah, I was going to go, and then I ran over a 2-inch long screw that punctured my tire and flattened my tire.
Jeez.
In Stewart, I was stranded.
You've had some car issues lately.
Yeah, it stinks.
It
stinks.
The thing is,
it's not like my car. It's just bad luck, really.
Do you know how to change your tire? Were you able to do it yourself?
I did not have a spare.
You didn't have a spare, okay.
No, but I was able to make it into town. All right, guys. So somehow our audio software got paused. I don't know what happened with that, but we're picking it back up kind of where we left off. We were talking about having a flat tire on the interstate, and then we went on to talking about the two kids that Iowa State offered out of that camp at Council Bluffs. Davion Jones from Millard North and Masri. I don't know how to say it.
You can't pronounce his name?
No.
This is Davion. What position is he?
Running back.
Running back.
Yeah, he's a running back, 6'6", 163 pounds. His first offer was from Iowa State.
Really? Interesting. I mean, obviously good height for a running back, 6 feet.
Yeah.
Small, but he's a high school kid. So.
I think he would be a guy that would fit into the in position, like a slot or a running back.
He's a burner.
Yeah. He's fast.
Is he?
I watched his film.
Okay. Track guy?
I'm not 100% sure, but I wouldn't be surprised.
And he's from what school out there in Nebraska?
Millard North.
Millard North, okay.
It's in Omaha.
Home of Eric Crouch.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I told you that the first time that we talked about this.
You know, I was kind of actually hoping that Fanatics would be like, oh, man, Gray knows a lot. You know, but you threw me under the bus there. Thanks. And then the other kid, the defensive tackle that they offered?
Yeah, he's from York, which is in Class B out there. So it's the second biggest class in Nebraska. He's 6'4", 270 pounds, has offers from Iowa, South Dakota State, and UCF. He visits Nebraska this weekend. He's going to go to their – in Nebraska, they have Friday night camps instead of Saturday night. So he's going to go to the Friday night camp at Nebraska. And then,
okay.
He'll be at a visit there on Saturday.
That's interesting. Why do they do the Friday night for just to be different?
I'd always heard Friday night before until Matt Campbell did Saturday night.
Oh, really? I think Iowa State's always on Saturday. Maybe
right. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But
I could be wrong.
I just know Nebraska does it on Fridays.
Okay. And so, obviously, if Nebraska offers, it will be a tough get. He's a Nebraska fan, you said?
Yeah, and I'm not even going to say that he's like a Nebraska fan. He is a Nebraska fan, but I read another interview with him. He said that he's not like a diehard Nebraska fan like a lot of people in Nebraska. But he does like Nebraska.
He likes Nebraska, okay.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if Campbell and his staff, if they can make, you know, any waves there in Nebraska. Iowa State, McCartney used to have a little bit of success there. He got Stevie Hicks, who's a good crew. But unless someone out there can tell me differently, it's been a while since Iowa State's gotten a kid out of Nebraska.
Yeah, I can't remember them getting one in a while.
Teddy Lampkin?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he never played. He ended up focusing on track, just a little guy fast. I'm sure there's other guys, but I can't think of too many guys lately that Iowa State's been able to pull out of Nebraska. So, and there's obviously, there's not a lot of players. It's probably very similar to Iowa in that regard. I don't know. You tell me, you follow Nebraska recruiting. Is there more Division I players that come out of Nebraska or Iowa? Probably very similar.
No, I mean, and the thing is, a lot of the kids that come out of Nebraska to play D1 usually go to Nebraska, you know?
Yeah.
And Omaha and Lincoln will usually have a couple guys. Drew Watts from Nebraska.
Okay.
And then every once in a while, you know, they'll have one or two guys that will go somewhere else. I'm not sure that they produce more Division I guys in Nebraska. Most of them come from Omaha and Lincoln, and you know, I've never really heard of many from the western part of Nebraska.
There's nothing out there
in
the western part of Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's just open plains.
And a lot of the good football players out there go to, you know, Wyoming or Chadron or something like that.
BYU?
I don't know anything about anybody going to BYU.
I'm just throwing something out there. Yeah, but, I mean, it sounds like they'd be – I mean – the defensive tackle, like we talked about in the last podcast, that's always seems to be Iowa State's most difficult position to recruit for high school kids. You know, they can get JUCO kids, but high school kids and build them up and have them, you know, make an impact for, you know, 2-3 years on the team. So it'd be nice if Iowa State could get a couple defensive linemen that are high school players in this class. The fact that they're offering these kids at the camp and they've already got a lot of a decent amount of offers out, does that say anything of where they feel they stand with like a LaShawn Minor, you think, or is it one of those where, hey, this kid's just as good and we'll take one, or do you feel like?
Well, he's a 2018 kid.
Oh, this kid's 2018.
Yeah, both these guys are 2018.
Okay, no wonder I can't find him right now.
Yeah.
Just ignore me right now.
Well, it's I'm not going to say that it has anything. It shouldn't. Nobody read into anything about what it says about the 2017 commits or recruits. I mean, because
that makes sense. Okay.
You got to rebuild the defensive line.
Yeah.
You know, you want to just bring in as many defensive linemen as you can bring in.
Yep.
It's going to be the same thing with offensive line.
Sure.
So.
And two of the most important positions on the team. So. Any other offers that you – so you did not make it to the Council Bluffs one, obviously, because of car trouble, but you were at the one in Ames for the 7-on-7 camps.
Yeah.
Was there –
there was nothing new there. No.
Well, but you did get to see –
get to watch Devin Moore.
Sling the ball?
Yeah, he can sling it. He I'm not going to try and tell you that he was playing against Big 12 competition.
Sure.
You know, but you can definitely – you can see it.
But
you can see the tools.
He's obviously a big kid.
Yeah, he's a big kid.
He's kind of got like the Arnaud build to him a little bit, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even at this stage, a little bit bigger than Arnaud was at that as a junior in high school. I don't know.
I don't honestly know what Arnaud looked like as a junior in high school.
He's a lefty, so we all know lefties are far superior athletes.
Sure.
Can throw the ball better.
Okay. I'm not going to – I don't know.
No, I'm just stating it as a fact. I'm not actually – it's not a
like – Is it a fact?
I'm not asking you a question. I'm
just do you have mathematical data? Or statistical data.
We can go get a football. We can go out of the parking lot. I can throw a couple balls to you.
Okay, so you might be able to throw a football better than me, but that doesn't make you make all lefties better.
You know.
How many left-handed quarterbacks are there?
I mean, Steve Young was a pretty good one.
Okay, one. Tim Tebow.
Best college quarterback of all time. Timmy Tebow.
Oh, my goodness. This man right now.
No, I'm just kidding. It's funny, though, because I think Iowa State has offered quite a bit lefty quarterbacks in the last – even coming up in 2018, I think they have a couple lefty quarterbacks.
Is Zeb Nolan a lefty?
No, he's not.
No, he's not a lefty.
He's
no.
not quite that good. I mean, he's a good quarterback, it seems like, but he's not. He's no lefty.
Oh, man.
You got to see him. Now, but this was different. Iowa State also had a different camp, too, that you attended. Am I correct? On Saturday? Or was this the same?
It was at the same time, but there wasn't anybody of note at the Big Ben camp.
That Iowa State offered?
Nobody. No.
Now, are you skilled enough when you're watching that you can just be like, that kid looks legit and that kid doesn't? Are you?
I mean, when someone's 5'6 and weighs 105 pounds, I usually can assume that they're probably not going to play college football.
But there weren't kids that small there.
You'd be surprised at some of the size of some of the kids at like the Saturday Night Lights camp.
Really?
Yeah.
They bring them in from Clarinda?
They're not like inviting them. They just come to camp, you know.
Oh, so this is a different camp than typically. Okay.
Not all of it's invite. Like, if you want to pay the money, you can come.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So.
Oh, nice. I think.
You need to come. You should come to camp on Saturday, Adam. What are you doing this weekend?
Saturday's no good for me.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Saturday's no good. Next camp, I'll go to.
There's one next Saturday.
Okay, I'll go to.
There's 7-on-7 on Monday, too.
All right, let's go. Let's go take a look.
Sounds good.
I'll actually bring like a little notepad.
Will you?
And I'll do like the whole Mel Kiper thing. I'll be ranking them.
Okay, sounds good. I have no idea who will be there. So
I love geeking out. Like I'll be writing about some kid from like Mason City.
I don't think Mason City was there last time. Yeah.
Okay.
Then they offered a new offensive lineman as well this week. Actually, it did.
Yes.
Last week at the Sound Mind, Sound Body Camp, Kelvin Aitman from Cass Tech in Detroit. I would say he's a priority, but if they can get Marquise Hayes and Caleb Chandler, that's plan A.
Those are
best case scenario.
Okay.
Still best case scenario. Marquise Hayes, I'll also say, might be on a visit next week, but he's still trying to work out the details.
So I watched the video of him at this camp the other day.
Yeah, he is a beast.
He mauls dudes.
Yes.
And here, the thing is, you look at his body, and he looks soft, doesn't he? But he plays stronger than hell. So he's got that freak just strength about him. Can you imagine you get him in a Big 12 weight room with his already natural strength that he's got?
Did you see him throwing? He was throwing those big dudes around. At
like
nothing. Like, this is the Rivals five-star challenge. Like, this is supposed to be, like, the best of the best from the Rivals camps all summer. And he was doing – I mean, it wasn't pads or anything like that, but his blocking, he was just tossing guys around like it was nothing.
Yeah. I've told you, I actually might have Marquise Hayes ahead of Caleb Chandler as far as my want list.
Okay.
Because I think – I don't know. Something about him to me just screams he's got the it factor.
No.
Not that Caleb Chandler doesn't, because Caleb Chandler looks like a stud too. I'll gladly take either, but I don't know. I might be a little more excited about Marquise Hayes. This new guy, though, Iowa State is his first big offer. Mm-hmm. I think he's got an offer from Toledo.
Yeah, so yeah.
So this is the first Power 5 offer. And he's one of those guys, like you said, you're trying to get in on early if you know, and make a relationship to where if he does blow up, or if maybe even a fallback, you said, you've already built that prior relationship with him.
Right.
He's not a huge kid. I mean, weight-wise, he's got a good weight, but what, 6'4"?
Yeah, I would look, probably, but I'm scared to go off of addition now.
he's probably a guard.
Yeah. He's good sized. He'll be a guy that will be able to fit somewhere.
Yeah.
But if the class fills up, then you know, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So prediction time. Who's Iowa State next commit?
Their next commit.
Let's hear it. Cam White.
I would say that would probably be the best. The best bet.
Oh, I would say fun. I didn't think that was a possibility.
Because I don't know that – I haven't talked to that many kids lately that it's like – it seems like they're really close to pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
You know? If Caleb Chandler or somebody came on a visit and they absolutely loved it, I could see that happening. But a lot of their big targets right now have not been on enough visits to where it would be like, oh, that guy's going to commit.
Yeah.
But with as many visits as Cam White has been on to here – it would make him a guy that would, if he committed, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's way out of left field, you know?
No, it would be huge though.
Yeah.
It'd be huge. And hopefully what it would do is it'd start kind of a chain reaction of all of a sudden, wow, Caleb Chandler sees Cam White, a 4-star from down south committing, he commits. And then all of a sudden from there, these kids, they communicate so much better now than 15 years ago.
Right.
You'd commit and you'd have a guy commit from another state. You weren't talking to him unless you called him up on the phone or we're pen palling him and writing in the mail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now these guys can talk in 2 seconds on social media nonstop. They can help recruit other kids, and it could really turn to kind of be like a little bit of a snowball effect if Iowa State could get that one big commit.
Definitely.
Kind of like what we saw with Alan Lazard a couple years back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got Tommy Messer, who obviously ended up last second deciding to go elsewhere, which worked out good for Iowa State because they got Mike Warren. But you saw once Iowa State got Alan Lazard, a couple of other really nice recruits started kind of piling in there.
Definitely. So,
yeah.
All right. You got anything else to add this week?
No, man. I think we're good. We cranked out 3 podcasts here.
Yeah, except for the fact that this one took essentially 3 takes.
It did. Hopefully. And it was too bad because we were on a roll there for a while before
we realized.
I mean, people that are listening, you missed probably the greatest podcast on Cyclone Fanatic history because it got cut off. Would you agree with that? If not the great top 10, for sure.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Just lie, bud. Just lie.
All right. For Adam Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody.